business owner.
Whatever your situation is currently is not your forever situation.
That's really what real business owners is, man. Like, we don't care where you come from. Yeah. Where are you going?
Our goal and our job is to reduce the mistakes that you have to make or the money that you have to lose.
You want to be an entrepreneur, you want to be successful, don't give up.
You learn, adjust, and continue to move forward. Welcome back to the Real Business Owners Podcast. This is episode 103 with myself, Trevor Cowley, Kilo G.
What's up?
Guys, today we have an amazing guest for you. We wanted to sprinkle in some estrogen. You know, show you guys that these women out here are really doing it too. We've got Natasha Knutson.
Yes.
Yes. So she's a seven-figure entrepreneur, Project Support Services. What's the actual name of the company? I know that that's what you do, but yeah. Is that the name of the company as well?
Project Support Service, PSS.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, for PSS.
I was like looking for it. I was like, hey, what's the, and I see that's what you do. And I'm like, is that the name too?
Yeah.
You know, so that makes it nice. The name is exactly what you do, right?
That was a big thing about the name. Yeah. You want to pigeonhole yourself when you start with a name. So
Where somebody is like a random name, like what industry or business is that in? That's like, it's weird when people do that. They name it some off the wall thing.
Oh, I know.
When you kind of want people to know just by the name what it is that you're doing, right?
Yes.
So you've been in project support services, and that's in the construction industry. Mm-hmm. You're supporting the construction industry there. How long have you been doing that?
I started in 2008, right when the housing market crashed. I started as a side hustle.
There you go.
I was working at a testing and inspection firm. I saw a huge need in the market for what I was doing.
Yeah.
And about 7 years ago, I decided to jump ship fully 100% and start the business. And it's been 7 years with employees and an office and all that good stuff.
A lot of 7 years of struggle and overcoming, and you know that's what
trial
she means
air,
by
trial
all that.
Air. Yeah,
exactly.
New level, new devils. Yep. Yes.
Oh yeah. All that's true.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't know and you're in business, you will know when you hit
quick.
The 7 year mark, 10 year mark. You know, new levels, new devils. That's exactly what it is, right? Some people are in the year one of their business or year two in their business, and they can't wait till year five when it starts getting easier, when they got some things figured out.
Yeah.
Good. Not happening, because you'll have to figure out how to deal with things at that level, right?
Like, and people don't understand, like, actually every year that you stay in business, the chances of you staying in business next year, you're not supposed to be. Like, by year 10, you're supposed to have failed by now. Year 5, it doesn't even happen.
Yeah, success slowly, the percentage dwindles as time goes on, right? So that just shows not a lot of people can hang on for that long. And I think part of that is maybe going into it with improper expectations, like, I can't wait till year 3 or 5 or 6 when it's going to get easier.
Yeah.
And if they go into it looking for ease, that's just not going to happen. Now, obviously, you're going to have to deal with the headaches and the problems and do those difficult things so that you can have some ease financially. But that doesn't necessarily mean that every day that you show up to work is going to be easy.
No.
Right?
No. I mean, owning a business, you know, it's, as they say, it's a success. It's like rent. It's due every single day. Every day it's due. Mm-hmm. You take a break, you're going to pay for it somehow.
Oh, yeah. You're taking a step backwards.
It's due every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it doesn't stop. You can't stop. Just the way it is.
Yeah. You got to. Yeah. So let me ask you this. Like, obviously, in terms of success and, you know, being able to grow a business into the seven figures, what were some of the biggest hurdles or struggles that you had to face head on and overcome to start reaching those levels?
It was the very beginning, starting was like just believing in myself that I was a woman in construction, very male dominated, no college degree, not business savvy. I got a certificate from, you know, Norco Community College for construction technology. And every time that
and you could have easily used all of those things that you just barely said as an out.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was in an industry where it's mostly baby boomer. It still is baby boomer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But my mindset was blocking me. And I said, okay, like, let's break through this mindset. And so once I got over the fear of starting it and believing in myself, it started to take off. And then when I got over the fear of, like, who am I to own a business in a construction school industry? I'm not an architect or engineer, but I had such a passion, I still do, for solving problems for our clients and being their fighter, that I said, no, like, it's me. I'm meant to do this.
Yeah.
And so every time, like, that has happened, these walls, It goes back to mindset. That's all it is. Yeah. It truly, and also it's the fire in you. Yeah. I notice at times I really, really want something and people think it's like, oh, I'm being lazy. Your body actually will stop you from wanting it. So you might feel this low energy and you feel like, oh my God, like I can't do it. And I have to like jolt myself, like stop. This isn't laziness. This is your mind trying to tell you and your body to hold you back. You have to
maybe
fight through it.
Fear.
It is.
And it's like it's trying to suppress you.
To protect you.
So that you feel as though that you can let yourself off the hook for not ever pursuing
Right? You just think like, oh, I'm not. And once you break through it, you're fine. You take off. But I battled that a couple of times in business, wanting to do things with the next level, hire more employees. Mm. And I just felt like I couldn't move with it. My body was stopping me, but it was protecting me because I was fear and scared.
What are those things where they go like that and they're like clear and they hit the chest and keep people alive? What are those things?
I don't know. Something.
What is it called, Jay? You're smart, dude.
It's something like the.
It's just where you shock your heart.
It's the jolt, something.
Oh yeah, the AEDs or something.
Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah, I mean obviously,
but that's what you need.
Insert medical
flux history. Capacitors.
Yeah, it's so they get out the flux capacitor, Zoltan.
In all reality, though, did you face when because it is such a male dominated industry? Did you face some shit in the early stages of like I ain't going with you? You're a woman. Like at the end of the day, once you earn your stripes or whatever, the people know you're gonna get your shit done. They don't care if you're a woman or a dude.
Be real.
But in the initial stages, you might deal with somebody.
So I kid you not. Yeah. The first networking event I went to, there was this head honcho in our industry, and I was like, I'm gonna go up to him and give him my card. And I gave him my card and he looked at it and threw it. I had that happen to me 3 times.
He threw it?
Oh yeah. Oh, and he was just like, it sort of like laughed at it. And I said, and that gave me fuel. Instead of going in my car and crying, I was like,
fuck this
watch
guy.
Watch this. Yeah. And so I worked the room, got a couple contracts, and year 4 or 5, he acknowledged me. And he said, I've seen you stick around. He's like, let's talk so we can do business. But I had to earn his respect and his credit. There's other times where even this is where us women need to stop this. We need to help each other out. Yeah. I remember I first went to women and said, like, how can we partner? What can we do? And sometimes women get scared of like, you're going to lose your light by lighting another candle. It's like, you don't. A candle doesn't lose its light by lighting another candle. So help a sister out.
I look at it as it like logs. The more logs that are together on the fire, the bigger the fire, right? There are a lot.
Yes.
Like, if we come together, we can make it bigger, right?
Absolutely.
And burn brighter.
100%. You know? I like, though, that it's like a little certain amount of ego and humility. Like, you're like, okay, I've got something to prove to myself.
Yeah.
This motherfucker that just freaking threw my card, right? Yeah. But then you also have enough humility to be like, okay, yeah, let's talk. I've earned your respect over the last 5 years. Mm. A lot of people be like, screw you. I don't want to talk to you.
And I would.
You have to keep.
I would say that. I would have wrote that motherfucker off and said, like, you know, screw you. I figure out where he parked just let the air out. I ain't going to slice his tires, but I just let, you know, you got to do something, right? Like, I'm kidding.
So there's always people out there that are going to help you. No matter what industry you're in, someone's going to help you because somebody helped them. And so I looked at our industry and I said, who are the 3 people that move the industry that have well connections built? And so I went to them. I said, look, I can offer this service. I don't have built relationships. You do. Why don't you offer this service to your client? Mm-hmm. You can take half of my hourly rate. Mm-hmm. I'll take the other half. But in 2 years, I need to branch off my own. We made a deal. Mm-hmm. I got 20 contracts out of that. Yes, I was getting half of the hourly rate. But that's how I got my foot in the door.
But you were moving the needle.
Moving the needle. That was it. I sacrificed.
Now, maybe not as much as what you would have liked.
But it got me in the door.
But you had to sacrifice. Before you ever get to a point that you want to be, you're going to have to take a step backwards and make a sacrifice.
Yep.
And that's going to be the thing that will launch you and propel you forward. Yep. And that's exactly what you did.
I sacrificed. I mean, and even sacrificing besides, you know, the business stuff and my hourly rate, I also sacrificed my social life. A lot of my friends were still going to like EDC at the time. Keep in mind, mid-20s, EDC and partying and concerts in Vegas. And
I've always wanted to go to one of those, but I haven't.
Never have.
You know what? Just go to like one. I mean, even like maybe a Burning Man kind of thing.
We still got Speedos from Costa Rica.
What's the big one in California, though?
I mean, there's, oh, you guys probably like Stagecoach, maybe. It's
kind of,
you
guys kind of,
okay.
There's a big one, though.
I don't like large crowds of people, to be honest with you. Yeah. That's like not my
thing. Well, guess what? You hustled hard enough to get VIP, so you get yourself. Because when I was, when I started making money to go to Vegas.
That's a solution.
Coachella. That's the other one.
You pay for space and time in these things. So pay money to get that bougie little booth of yours.
There you go.
But, so yeah, I started off that way and then had to make these sacrifices. I also rented a bedroom. I slept in my office. I had this little 300 square foot office.
Yeah.
I made a lot. People don't see the sacrifice.
No.
I made a lot of sacrifices for 5 years. Mm. And then after that, it started to pay off. And guess what? It's still paying off.
Yeah.
It is, but everyone has to give up something.
You can probably see now 8 years in, maybe some of the groundwork that you laid on year 1 through 5 is now really paying dividends, and it's much easier to continue to make sacrifices when you have the data of, okay, I made sacrifices here and it served me. If I keep doing that, I know by year 10 and 11, these sacrifices that I'm making today will serve me later.
Yes.
And it makes it easier to do that. It's just so hard in the beginning because you don't have the foresight that you have now, right? Yeah. Or hindsight, I guess I should say, right? That's what people need to understand is sacrifice becomes easier to make once you have data that you see that it does pay off.
Well, you also got to pay your dues to build your network.
Yeah.
Like you're going to these people like, hey, I'm willing to give something up here, half my rate, work my ass off for you, but I'm also going to be transparent with you. Like a couple years from now, like I want to branch off. I want to do my own thing. So you're being transparent, but you're giving a lot. You're bringing a lot to the table.
Yes.
You're willing to lessen their burden to tap into their network.
Yep.
And people were willing to do that if you're willing to bring something to the table and pay your dues.
Yep.
And so that's like networking 101, but people aren't willing to do that a lot of times. They go into deals like all about them. Like, you know, like,
I'm
willing to do all this for
it
you, but I need.
It has to be a win-win for both of you.
Yeah.
It really does. If they're trying to help each other out, absolutely.
And sometimes you got to give more than you want to in the beginning.
Yeah.
And that's what I had to do. But look now, I don't have to give a piece of my pie to any middleman now.
Yeah.
If anything, it's really helped me. It also taught me, you know, negotiating deals and contracts and when are you going to get paid? Because that stuff too, like, hey, we made a deal. Where's my check? Oh, I haven't got, like, all that stuff, you just learn from it. But it was sacrifices.
What I think is cool as well is you had the opportunity to hone your skills, hone your craft at a lower wage. So I think that you could feel far more comfortable and confident as the years go on to say, this is what I'm worth and this is what I'm going to demand for my rate because I have, again, data, a history of we helped this many people do X, so now I feel comfortable charging X, right?
And so going into that, women, another thing too I noticed about us is we will negotiate for anyone, any man or woman, a higher rate than we will negotiate for ourselves. Mm. So I wanted to charge 125, and I had someone say, they're not going to pay you 125 an hour. And I started to like let it hit
sink
me. And I started almost to believe it.
Yeah.
And I said, no, I know what I'm worth. I know what I bring to this table. I'm charging 125.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like, good luck with that. And guess what? I have the contract with 125 an hour at my hourly rate.
Yeah.
And, you know, and if
it's not
I would
good luck with it, the results ultimately pay for your that 125, right?
Yes.
And you're producing the results so that it makes sense.
Yes.
Right?
But he tried to think no one was going to pay. And I said, no, I'm worth it. My team's worth it.
Yeah.
We're going to get that.
Yeah,
and
but if you talk to somebody that's, again, that you talk to an individual that has a broke mindset, right? So they projected their bias like, well, I wouldn't pay that. Right. So nobody else is going to. Well, guess what? There's some rich people that don't want to pay $500,000 for a sports car, but there's plenty of other rich people that will.
Yes.
Right. Everybody's going to be different.
Yeah.
Right. In terms of where they see value and where their dollars go. Right.
Yeah.
And so what I thought was cool prior to us getting on the podcast, when we were waiting for Kel's butt to get done training, Kel's working with a trainer. He's going to his
get
butt
it.
Whipped into shape. And he's gonna
hey,
be,
when you know that you ain't pushing yourself, you got to do something.
Yeah,
you do.
So,
no,
I hired a trainer, you know, and honestly, it's been really good though, because I have a lot of injuries that I've been babying. And that's one of the reasons I've been pushing myself. So anyway.
Yeah. Even trainers have trainers.
Yeah. No,
even
trainers have trainers. My trainer was telling me about his trainer today.
No,
coaches have coaches. Like everyone needs someone.
Yeah. Kel's over there. Kel's getting his body on over there.
Well, I came in sick, man. I was like, we did legs today and I've been intermittent fasting with Trev. Like Trev's kind of inspired me to do
legs today.
And I'm like, I mean, whenever I do legs and I don't eat, man, I get lightheaded and sick.
I know.
So I grab a protein shake right after the workout. 11:30. No, it made me even sicker for a minute, but now I'm feeling better.
Good,
now.
Good.
So me and Natasha were sitting there talking when we were waiting for you, you know, 15 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever. Nothing crazy. Kel didn't make us wait for 3 hours, people. You know, I'm just giving him shit. But she was talking about being stuck at this point, right, of $350,000 in revenue.
A ceiling,
she,
right? Yeah,
like a plateau, right? Yeah. She kind of plateaued out. And what I thought was cool is she knew that she needed to do something. What I've really noticed just in the short conversations that we've had, you're pretty self-aware.
Yes.
And you know when you need to do something and you hold yourself accountable to that, right? Even if it's difficult to do, you're still self-aware enough to follow through with it. But she said she hit this ceiling and she knew she needed to do something about it. You went to a Tony Robbins Business Mastery event. You guys, you need to understand that shit ain't cheap. They're anywhere from $5,000 to $15,000 to attend one of those, and it's just, you know, a 3 day or four
plus
day
plus the
event,
revenue you lose being there.
All of that it totally adds up. So you drop $10,000 to go to an event when your business is already plateaued, which would ultimately make most people think like, well, I don't want to part with $10,000 while my business is right here. Mm-hmm. But you're self aware enough to know I am at a plateau. I need something. I know I need to be investing into myself. And that's the real big issue is I think a lot of people look at a ticket price like they're giving $10,000 to Tony. Who gives a shit about Tony and what he makes, right? What you're really doing is giving $10,000 to yourself in terms of information that you can now benefit from for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. That's infinite, right? Yes. You that information's not just 1 week because now you have that forever and that gets to stay with you and you get to utilize that over and over and over whenever you need to refer back to it.
It's an account. Give me a tool bag that I keep with me, my mindset all the time right now to have breakthroughs now.
And you did have the breakthrough that you were hoping to have, and everybody that found out about her spending money, we're like, you're an idiot, you're crazy, why would you spend that on that? Yep. But that was the thing that ultimately, again, blew on the ember, because I was talking to her and I was like, look, everybody has this ember of greatness, this fire inside of them. Mm-hmm. It just takes the right words of the right person to blow on it and ignite it. Right?
Yeah.
And
courage, that, man. Yeah, you gotta have some courage.
And that was the thing that Tony did for her at that event, was just kind of ignite that fire.
Oh, absolutely. Like tapped into me. I kid you not, I drank the juice, what everyone calls Gatorade, whatever.
Hell yeah, we do it too.
But I needed it because I was like seeking for it. Yeah. And it's funny because the $10,000 was a lot at the time for me.
Yeah.
And I believe in God. And I was like, God, like, show me signs. I swear to you, I met three complete strangers and we would talk about business. And I'm like, what helped you? Business Mastery. And then this was the like nail in the coffin. I was like, I have
to
go.
You looked for clues and you found the clues.
Yes, because I asked God, universe, I'm like, show me signs. Yeah. Then I'm flying from New York back to LA because I love New York. And I'm flying. I'm sitting in. I worked really hard for it, first class. Guess who's sitting across the row from me?
And
he just,
he's on his own plane.
I spoke about him earlier, but he was actually like that day I was scrolling through social media. I saw Gary Vee and Tony Robbins.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, it was Gary Vee.
Oh, nice.
And he was, I wish I would have
said something.
Yeah, I did. But I didn't want to bug him because it was early and he was working the whole flight.
He's
working.
A grinder.
And I was just like, man, like this guy inspired me. And I do regret not going up to him. But seeing that and that, I put signs together. That day I called the guy and I'm like, sign me up. Those are the signs that I needed. So when people
Gary.
I know, I still
regret
it.
He's such a nice
guy. He's a hustler. Like, he was like working on the phone the whole flight. I was like, oh my God,
he's genuine.
Be working. Yeah. Yeah. So, people don't know at times like what decisions to make or invest money, but I say like if you don't know, pray about it, ask universe, whatever, and pay attention to signs because those three people came to me and that helped me open a door to get my business to the goal I wanted to hit, which was a million. Like, and if I didn't go to that seminar, I know for a fact. And then guess what? I told two other guys and who are friends, and they went to that business Tony
and
Robbins,
it helped them.
And it helped them. Yeah. So it was like. I tell everyone,
full
like,
circle,
go in person, don't do this whole Zoom thing, because you'll feel the energy
it's different.
That you need to feel.
It is different.
Oh,
you know, this whole pandemic, man, it really sucked events going to Zoom.
I won't do it.
Because, we did some Zoom events, and we're like, this is not the same.
You don't know.
And you know, they knew it, too. Like,
You can't.
They didn't even charge us those last 2 months of the Arete because they're like, we know it's not the same. No, but it's we all want to get together the best we can.
Yeah. And energy in person is a lot different than just over. Why do you think why do you think our podcasts are in person?
Yeah, it's
we have to have it in person because it's just different.
I wouldn't do this if it was.
You know, so it's like I already stare at a computer all day.
Yeah,
I don't need to do it during a podcast. Yeah.
And there, I mean, there's still value there, but it just isn't the same.
It's not the same. It could be 70% or 60%. But
yeah.
I'm telling you, when you hear something, you could hear something just on a video, and you could hear the same thing in person. It's gonna have a deeper or different impact when you hear it from somebody live. Yeah. It's just true. I mean, we've seen Ed speak. I mean, how many times? 3, 4 times? Yeah. 5 times? Whatever. Yeah.
Ed Milet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, we were a part of his group or whatever, him and Andy's group, Arete Syndicate. We still are, but and following on social media, listening to his podcast, all of that's great.
Yeah.
But then when you go in person. Yeah. It hits different.
Yeah,
it just hits different. Does. So it absolutely does.
And that's what people need, right? Yeah. Because we all have free content available to us on YouTube, on Instagram, all that stuff. But when you go, when you make it the actual buy-in investment, like you would be the idiot if you spent 10 grand and you didn't drink the juice or fully buy in because then and you're not going to get the full experience. Some
people
don't.
I did witness some people where they didn't let it, they didn't do the work, they didn't let it in.
Yeah.
And then they walked away like, oh, this didn't work. And don't, that's the hard part. If those people start to get to you, you need to cut them out.
Cause that was,
cause I did hear people like, oh, this is crap. And I'm like, you know what? Get away from me. Like, I need to get this in.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah.
Like, why spend the money and not open yourself up to just buying into the experience? And just see what happens.
Yeah.
There is. There's steps to it, right? Like, you have the courage to go and pay the money.
Yeah.
To do something. But then you got to have the willingness to actually buy into it, drink the juice. But then you also, if you take those two steps, then you have the accountability factor because you're like, I paid money for this shit and I'm going to get the most out of it, which is really a huge accountability thing. And so there is a lot of value of letting go of that money that you've worked your ass off for to break through that fucking ceiling.
Oh yeah. The biggest thing was like, knowledge is potential, but execution is power. When I left, I'm like, I want to go execute so bad. I want to kill it. And that's what I did. I executed.
A lot of people, you know, I've heard the old saying, if there's no transaction, there's no transformation. Something that's free isn't as valued as something that you've spent money on. And you're going to want to make sure that you're milking every last dollar that you spent in that event.
Yep.
If it was free, then you could, I'm going to go take a bath. I'm going to go hang in the hallway. I'm going to go do this or just kind of lollygag around.
Yep.
But when you're that. And I think that's part of some of the high price points is they know the more money that you spend, the probably the more value you'll get out because of the dollar commitment.
Oh, you don't there was like a $5,000 ticket. I was like, nope, I want front row. I want to high five this guy. Like, I'm sitting. And I did. I was like, boom. Yeah. It all happened the way I wanted to because I made it happen.
Yeah.
Like,
that's huge.
I was like, it's going to happen. So, yeah.
Committed.
Let me ask you this. What you know, to kind of come back to you know, what it is that you do. What are some of the common mistakes that you're seeing entrepreneurs in the construction industry or general contractors or some of the people that you're working with, what are some of the common areas that they're lacking in or making mistakes in that you think that maybe they can improve on?
I mean, it's...
Not hiring you?
No.
That's what I'm saying. That's the common mistake.
Yeah,
if you're in construction, you're not hiring her. That's mistake number one.
The school districts hire me directly, which is a beautiful thing because they pay on time.
Government money,
and
baby.
Then the large CM firms too. But it's the small businesses because there are these large construction firms, and there's so much opportunity for small businesses that are small business construction companies, women business owned, minority women owned. So they start to like pigeon self them holes in their comfort zone. Mm. And we all know like you're going to hit a ceiling with that. Mm-hmm. So I start talking to small businesses. And I'm like, hey, I know you're doing residential, but like, why aren't you getting into schools? We have $14 billion right now in California in school construction.
Damn.
Like, well, I don't know how to do labor compliance. I don't know how to meet these requirements. I'm like, they have classes. Go to them. Figure it out. Why aren't you trying to get in the 8A program? Well, it's always excuses. And there's so much opportunity in construction for larger contracts for these small contractors. Even with my father-in-law and my husband, I'm like, hey, like, let's get you into schools. They're like, yeah, let's look into that. But no one wants to fill
Do you think their mindset, the small mindset, because they look around and be like, well, my business isn't a big enough business for government contracts. Like, I only have like six people or eight people.
They don't get it. They have the government has to meet certain requirements with giving that work to veteran, minority, small business. And they don't, they're not wanting to like do that work to learn about it, to take the class. They want to stay in the comfort zone. This is in my wheelhouse.
That's what they know. That's what they're familiar with.
Exactly.
And me, I'm like, no.
I only know what I know. So I can't do that.
I'm not going to stretch myself.
Instead of being like, that's not I got to go learn.
Yes.
Yeah.
I got to go execute.
Some people really, they love their comfort zone. They don't want to, in order to grow, you have to get uncomfortable and they don't want to. And so they just want to stay in that same. And that, hey, if that's fine. But if you want this opportunity, go do it. Yeah. Like, sky's the limit right now in construction with California. There's so much money in school construction, so much money in bridges, metro. Like, I'm hungry for it. I'm trying to figure out how do I leave, you know, get my team going so I can go out and get these government contracts because they're like millions of dollars and I want it. I'm like, why not me?
Yeah.
So, but most it goes back, you have to want it.
Yeah.
And it's hard.
You say, why not me? When most people say, that's not going to happen to me or for me or whatever, right? Like that.
I don't have that kind of luck.
Yeah. Dude, it's just, again, it's all either you have belief or you have biased. That's it.
Absolutely.
You either have biased in why it's not going to happen for you or you have belief that there's an opportunity.
Yes.
That's it.
So before I came here, I had lunch with this woman who wins large government contracts and she's a demolition company. She demos sites.
Sounds like it'd be a fun business.
So
I'd show up.
I thought she knew all about construction. Her background's chemical engineering, not construction. She has her general A license. I've been trying to get my general B, but I've been procrastinating on it. And so I'm like, how do you do this? Like, what do you do? And she's like, oh, I have my general A. I win the contract. I sub it out. And I'm like, that's all you do? She's like, oh, yeah. I just won Camp Pendleton, about $7 million contract. I just got this one, five. And I'm like, what's your percentage you take? Oh, I take about 30%. And I'm thinking, you win contracts, sub it out. You get 30%. You don't have the stress of having to deal with employees. And I'm like, do you, like, know about this stuff? And she's like, you know, I know about the scope, but, like, I really don't know construction. And I wasn't mad at her. I was like, this woman showed me she can do it.
Yeah.
I know construction. I feel pretty damn well. I know who to go to if I don't. And I'm like, my mindset of I can't get this contract, it just stopped. And I said, thank God put this woman in front of me to be like, if I can do work through her, imagine what I can do through you. And I'm like, I left and I called my husband. I'm like, that's it. I'm done. I'm going to get these contracts. Like, I just saw a woman.
Stuff,
you know, when you see someone like, oh my God, if this person's doing it, well, I'm on.
That's what we hope our podcast does for everybody. You're like, if these two dudes can do it, then we can do it too.
So she motivated me. She inspired me. I taught her a little bit more about a couple other things. And I said, hey, help me help you. And we switched things, goes back to helping each other.
Yeah, serving each other.
And, I left and I needed that because I was sort of procrastinating on getting my general B. I wasn't turning in documents to finish my 8A contracting. And I called the guy and I called the school and I'm like, let's make this shit happen.
Yeah.
I'm done. I'm done. I'm ready to win that $5 million contract. I'm sick of this.
Yeah.
And so, sometimes these things happen because you have to have that person in front of you to be like, oh my God, I need to get my shit together.
Yeah.
So it happened. Here I am. And when I see you guys again, I'm going to be like, I'm 8A, General B, and I've got
and
that.
I've got
I'm doing Camp Pendleton.
10 contracts that are $2 to $10 million. Dollars, you know?
So I needed that.
No, that's huge.
I needed that fire.
That's huge. I love that. And again, what you guys need to understand, and we were talking about this earlier as well, the majority of people only will do something if they feel certain about it, right? You have to be willing to walk into uncertainty and then just figure things out as you go. Just buy into the belief of yourself, not necessarily, you know, a belief that this is going to turn out a certain way or it won't turn out a certain way. That's not for me. Mm-hmm. Just walk into that uncertainty that you think that there's no way they're going to give me that contract. And then again, as you go, you just get a little bit more certain and certain. You're just moving the needle slowly in the right direction.
Do your part.
Exactly.
Yeah. Do your part. I always tell people like, well, what if? No, do your part and see what happens. If the door doesn't open, it wasn't meant to open, but keep knocking on doors till the right one does open.
Yeah.
And that woman I sat across from, she didn't get her first government contract till year 7.
Oh, wow.
Year 7. She's like, I was on unemployment for 3 years, and then I did this, and then year 7. I'm like, 7 years this woman didn't give up.
She's deserving of it.
Then. Oh, yeah. She's deserving of it. That's why I was like, man, like,
how I look at that on those big contracts is she's getting back payment for the 7 years of sacrifice.
Yep. And I was so proud of her. I was so proud of this woman for doing that. She never gave up. Another woman I met, General B, I, you know, went to this networking event and I said, hey, I'm trying to get my B license. Is there anyone who's done it? And this woman came up to me. She's like, I failed it 10 times, but the 11th time I passed. And I was like, an inspiration. Yeah. She never gave up and now she's winning contracts.
But the funny thing is there's always going to be, again, adversity prior to you reaching that next level. And that's what we talk about all the time is like at the end of that level that you're trying to leave, there's going to be that thing that's going to try to deter you from getting to that goal.
Yep.
And it's up to you to see it through, whether it's a 7 year gap before it happens, whether it's failing something 10 times before it happens, whether it's hitting a plateau and not being able to break through and then having to make an investment that you didn't ultimately want to make in yourself in order to break. You're going to have to, you know, break through something.
Yes.
And in most cases, it's your own internal bias about whatever the situation is.
And how you're thinking about it.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. You talked about some of the things that you learned at that event in terms of like asking yourself the right questions. And we talk about that too all the time. And the quality of questions that you ask yourself will determine the quality answers that you get.
Yep.
And if you, if you're not getting any answers, you're not asking yourself any questions. Yeah. And if you're asking yourself the wrong questions, then you're going to get the wrong answers.
Yes. Right? Yeah. That was the biggest thing at the Tony Robbins event too is, you know, he's like, so many of you are in this room because you want to figure out how to get from point A to point B, but you don't know how. He's like, a lot of people don't know how, and that's okay. But what you need to do, and this has been the thing that forever will be 10,000 plus, you know, vested in it. But he said, you need to learn how to ask yourself, what are the questions I need to ask to get the answer I want, and who can I go to help me figure out that answer? And so mine was like, I need to learn more about construction. Who could mentor and guide me where they're not gonna put me down or make me feel stupid? Mm. And there's this inspector I go to and he helps me all the time if I don't know a certain scope or something about a welding detail or just code and things like that. Yeah. The other part was like, oh my God, like, you know, I wanna buy a building, but I keep telling myself I can't afford it. I was like, who could I go to see what loans are out there? Someone's like, go talk to this bank. They give SBA loans.
Yeah.
Mm.
Got $1 million approval to go buy a building. Like, so ask yourself, what questions do I need to ask to get the answer I want? And who could I go to help me figure out that answer?
Mm.
And you might need a couple people, but guess what? I always figure out my answer now because of like that mindset.
Because you go through that process.
Exactly. I go through the process and I go to the drawing board and I'm like, well, maybe I need to re-ask a different question, a new question. Yeah. But questions get you answers.
Productive questions.
Yeah, so that has really been a game changer in my life. And it still helps me till this day with everything.
So. That's huge.
Yeah,
well paid. I love that. No, I love that. It was well paid. No, I love it. Yeah. No, I love that.
Yeah.
Outside of that, has there been, again, success is just a matter of habits, right? Mm-hmm. That's really all it is. Your daily habits will determine how your life ends up, right? What are some of the high-level habits that you have that you've seen have served you over the last 2 or 3 years? Because again, besides asking yourself the right questions, you still have to have some positive habits, things like to one, continue to have belief in yourself. Secondly, habits that are going to help you continue to grow mentally so that your business can ultimately continue to grow. Did you have high power habits in the initial stages of your business? And you still keep those, or have you created habits that are now serving you later in your years of entrepreneurship? Like, talk about maybe some of your habits and where you were in the beginning versus where you are now in terms of the habits that you have that serve you.
So the habit that I really applied till this day that actually helped me before starting my business that got me to believe in myself and starting it was therapy. I know you speak a lot about that.
Yeah.
But therapy is a habit that I have, meaning I know when to go seek help and get it because owning a business is so stressful. Yeah. Also, owning a business can trigger things. Maybe you come across someone that reminded you of a person that hurt you.
Yeah.
Maybe your employees are leaving and you feel abandonment issues because you had it as a child. Yeah. There's all these things. So my habit that I have to keep every time is doing this mental self-awareness check. And am I okay? Do I need to go talk to my therapist?
Yeah.
And that is number one. Number two is for me is working out every morning. I stopped during quarantine because our gyms were closed down.
Yeah.
And then there was a COVID outbreak at our gym. My mother-in-law was high risk. I didn't want to get in trouble if something did happen. So you know, I started working out at home. It wasn't the same.
Yeah.
But I still, like you said you went running. You said you went running. Yeah. My husband got me equipment. Yeah, we ran into
each other a couple times out in the streets.
Spent $500 buying this TRX and all this other stuff for my house. But working out is something I have to do. And it's not even for... Yeah, the health, absolutely, but it's more the mindset. Yeah, you get the high, you think about things. Also, too, for me, a habit is journaling. Like, I write everything going on, my ideas, my plans, all of that, and then alone time. Yeah. Even before starting the business, I always had to do alone time with myself to be like, okay, how am I doing? Yeah. What's going on? I still have it. Like, I schedule 4 hours by myself. But those are my habits, and last but not least is, like, money. You need to have a good habit with money. And here's why I bring up the habit about money. If you do not know how to manage $1,000, you won't know how to manage 10, 100,000, a million. Mm. And I would say for people who are starting a business or even the personal life, if you have a bad habit in money, you're going to ruin everything that's going to come to you. Like,
people don't understand
that money is such an important habit. They believe
that the money issue that they have is they just don't have enough of it. But if they live paycheck to paycheck at $500 a week, if they get a bonus or now it's $750 a week, they're still going to live paycheck to paycheck.
Absolutely.
It's muscle memory.
Even if you are a high producer, it's a really shitty mindset to get into. If your mindset is like, I'll just make more money. That'll solve the problem.
More problems.
But it doesn't work. No. You still have shitty money habits, so you're never going to be able to get ahead. Mm. And you can't really build a solid network, a solid business, a solid anything, partnerships, if you have shitty money habits.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because money is a fucking tool, man. Mm-hmm. Like, how many business deals have we done because we were able to invest in those businesses because we have the cash on hand to do it?
Yes.
Yeah. So you've got to have good money habits.
You have to have good money habits starting a business, because you need to understand the value of a dollar, how it works, when to save, when to spend.
Yeah.
And when I see people's personal habits where it's like, oh, look at all the stuff they have, and I'm like, I know they're in debt.
Oh, yeah.
Guess what? They're going to do the same thing in business. They're going to show everything they have, and then they're going to have nothing in the bank and a negative net every month from their profit and loss.
And they have more stress because they have more overhead that they have to cover every single
lifestyle,
month. They're working for their lifestyle rather than financial freedom.
And that's the first thing I tell people when they want to start a business. I'm like, what do your money habits look like? Like, why are you asking that? I'm like, because you're going to have to learn how to manage it. Mm-hmm. You don't want to manage it. You're going to be back at square
one.
And
it requires you doing shit you don't want to do. Nobody wants to look at their books and answer those questions to their accountant or do it themselves. And nobody wants to really sit down and understand their P&L. No, like, nobody wants to take that time after they've been grinding and doing their duties and, you know, to bring in the money. Like, but literally that 15, it's 20 minutes a month is like really all it takes once you get it into a good system.
Yeah, because if you don't know your numbers too, when you start a business, you know, you can think like, man, my boat's taken off. It's doing great. Yeah, but guess what?
Yeah.
There could be a leak in that boat. And over time you're sinking and then you're sunk and you're like, how did I get here?
Yep.
Well, you didn't pay attention to like this little leak you had in your business that kept taking money.
Exactly.
And so I always tell people, like, I don't care how successful you are. You need to look at your damn numbers. Mm. You need every week profit and loss, how much you have left in purchase orders or what you have coming in, all of that.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you might grow too big. And then you're actually losing more money than being a small company. So you need to know that
scale. Yeah. I've seen that.
So
people are like, if we have double the size, then we're going to have double the revenue, double the profit. It doesn't always end up like that.
It doesn't always end up like that. No.
Sometimes you're like, you have less margins with a larger company.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, then you got to keep your key people, and then you got to pay your key people more to keep your key people. And so really your payroll doesn't end up being just double by doubling your people, you know?
Yeah.
Well, in some cases, if you have a small group and they're all a bunch of great A players, and then you're growing and you're mixing some B and C players in there, D players, they're not producing the same as the A player, so they're maybe more of an expense than they are an asset.
Oh, wow.
And then you're training, this person comes in, trains for 2 months, they're gone. You just paid somebody for 2 months for absolutely nothing. Yeah. Now they're bringing no value. And then you have people aren't thinking about that when they're thinking about growth, because you have to go through people. Not everyone's going to just stay with you forever.
Yeah.
And if they're only there for 6 weeks, you just maybe spent $2,000-$3,000 that went out the door in training. Now you times that by 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 per year when you're growing and trying to find the right people.
Exactly.
Lower performers getting paid still the same as maybe what somebody else performs at a higher level. And so it's juggling all of that. And so sometimes rapid growth isn't necessary. Slow and steady, yeah. You know, just day by day, kind of chip away at that and make sure that your habits are proper. And when you were telling us about your habits, one thing that really stuck out at me is when you set alone time for 4 hours. And then, you know, earlier in the conversation talked about you being self-aware. Yeah. I think that that's partly why, because you spend time with yourself. That's what, that means you're in tune with you, where one, you could see some of the signs that you need to see when you're looking for the right answers. Okay. That means you're in tune with yourself. And secondly, you're self-aware enough when you need to go check in with your therapist or when you need to do this, when you need to do that. But if you're not ever spending time alone with yourself or checking in with
you, it's just all noise.
You just won't know.
You won't be able to hear yourself.
You're in survival mode. Like, okay, this is just a storm. I just need to get through it, rather than really looking for the answers.
Right? We talked about it too. Like, you're both husbands and dads and business owners. You have employees. I'm sure you mentor people. Same thing. Mom, you know, wife, mentor, employees. And it's, you know, there's a scene in Cinderella where Cinderella has everything getting ripped off of her. Yeah. That's how I feel at times, because everyone needs me for something. Yeah. So when I'm alone for 4 hours, I get to recharge. And I need to recharge, because if I don't, I'm then depleted, and then I'm not showing up my best self. So on Sundays, sometimes I'll ask my husband, hey, can you watch our son for 4 hours? And my husband's amazing. He's like, absolutely, go do your thing. And I get to go recharge, whether it's like doing my nails or going to a workout class or a spin, whatever, or just being alone. Like
something that serves you. Yeah.
And then I'm recharged, remotivated, and I can show up as my best self. But it's a lot when I feel, as you are owning a business and then you're a mom, and then you're also a wife, and everyone just needs you.
Yeah. It's another important area of awareness, is being able to like be aware of what your partner needs, you know, like how you can support each other. And, you know, like, I wouldn't have the awareness levels that that I've been able to have over these years if it wasn't for going down that journey of therapy and and actually being, you know, I got pushed into it, but it was like one of the best things that ever happened to me.
I got hardcore pushed into it.
And I got shit from the boys too. We're like, oh, you're going to go deal with your childhood trauma. And you're like, and you do kind of feel like, oh, I don't need this dude to tell me what's wrong with me and all this shit, you know? But dude, like, being able to let that guard down, asking for help is a superpower, first of all, you know, and 'cause we all need it. Right. Yep. And at the end of the day, like, going through that journey of like figuring out my childhood programming, nobody sits down and just thinks on their own. Well, maybe some people do, but most people don't. They don't sit down and think, you know, I've got some shitty programming I got to deal with. Mm-hmm. Most people don't do that. But because I went down that therapy journey and I figured out with him, I was able to start developing awareness through the shit that I learned.
And guess what? You're not passing that buck to your kids now.
Exactly.
It stopped. I felt, you know, our parents did the best they could. And they sometimes accidentally gave us, I call it the dollar. And we have that buck, and we can burn it or we can pass it on to our child. You decided to burn it. I decided to burn it because we don't want that for our children.
Right.
And now you feel light. Mm-hmm. And now you learned a tool bag in therapy. When you have issues or you're triggered, you know when to pull that tool bag out and not to get over it. Because I hate when people say, get over it, get over it. No, I'm not going to get over it. I need to get through it, become at peace with it, learn my tool bag that got me through it. Because guess what? You might get triggered again down the road. Mm-hmm. You might not be peace again later in life.
Yeah.
But if you have your tool bag, you'll be able to get through it again quicker.
Exactly.
So I think it's an amazing thing that you speak about it, because a lot of men, I feel, in a good way, don't want to go to therapy because the whole like masculinity thing. But it's like, it's the best damn thing ever. Like therapy, I wouldn't be where I'm at in this chair today if I didn't go to therapy. I wouldn't
be able to support my wife.
I wouldn't be a good mom like I am. Yeah.
It's like relationships, partnerships, relationship with your employees, your children, like all of it is a piece of the puzzle of having a successful business and a fulfilling life, you know? So it's okay.
Yeah.
But you do get shit like, oh, you're going to try and figure out your first childhood memory, huh? So when my therapist started doing that, I was like, oh, here we go. Boys warned me about this.
You should have said, how'd you know about that, friends, bro? And, like, he asked the same question. How do you know? You've been through therapy.
But then you go back and ask him, like, well, did you ever do that exercise with a therapist? No. It's like, well, then you don't know the power of it.
No, we did cognitive therapy. I did with my therapist. But what I loved about him is he did get all the data to see, like, where I was at and where he wanted me to be and how to get me there, my mindset to change things. And so we did all this work. And then one day he like yelled at me and he's like, stop. He's like, this is it. That's the past. We've done enough work. You need to move forward. You need to stop looking in that rearview mirror. Mm-hmm. You need to stop blaming people. And I
called
was like,
you out. Yeah.
And that day on, I let it go. And I was like, you know what? I'm like holding myself in this prison of the past.
You're just repeating the same. You're just talking about the same shit over and over. And he's finally like, you're paying me to talk about the same shit over and over. Let's move through this.
Yeah. He's like, let it go. Yeah. Let it go. And I love how you two speak about, you know, you either be the victim or the victor. And I was telling myself a story because it was making me the victim. And it was giving me like, well, that's why I am the way I am. Because, and then once I, if I let that story go, I didn't know who I was without that story. But once I let it go, I was like, now I get to find who I am. Yeah. And it, this is who I am now.
Yeah.
I get to choose who I want to be.
Certified badass entrepreneur, mom, wife, so, all this cool
stuff. You got issues, go to therapy. It's worth it.
Yeah, there you go.
It really is. Especially, it's worth it. Like we had good ones, right? Yeah. Like there is shitty ones out there, but like,
try
you know
few,
what? A lot of times people think they're shitty because they're being challenged and to be uncomfortable and let go of that victim shit. And it is, and it's like, well, this guy's just not good or this gal's not good, right? And so, I mean, if you're being challenged, you know, and you know, you don't have someone that's just telling you what to do. You probably have a good therapist.
Yeah, mine walked out. He was Egyptian, 72. I said, he's old. He's from Egypt. What is he going to know about my problems? And he became my best friend. Yeah. Mm. Became my best friend. Like, that's cool. He got me more than anyone. So, yeah.
That's cool.
It was actually Tony Robbins when I was in therapy that I heard say, hey, if you're going to blame your parents for all your shit.
You better blame them for everything they did right. And that day it woke me up.
Thank them for all the shit going good too, right?
Yes.
Yeah, if you guys haven't seen like I'm Not Your Guru on Netflix, Tony Robbins thing, well, I'm just talking to the audience.
Yeah, it's good.
I know. Sometimes we get in our conversation where I think it's just us three. Kale's like, no, I've seen it, bro.
What are you talking about, bro?
I'm not talking to you.
We're the audience.
Forget you got a mic in front of us, homie.
Yeah.
But yeah, go check that out. That's a freebie thing on Netflix to be able to go check out. And that is powerful.
Oh, no. The one powerful
question. You see some of his habits and his routines and some of the questions that he asks people. And he can identify their problem within like a millisecond. Yeah. He's like, how were you? Was your dad good to you? Oh, yeah, he was. Fuck that guy. And then she's like, what? Well, he set proper expectations for every other guy moving forward.
And now they can't meet up with them.
They can't live up to your dad.
Yep.
So he's ruined you.
Yep.
You know, all this stuff. And it's just like, holy shit. Like, he can identify stuff that
does,
just so quick. Like, his psychology side of things.
I've witnessed
it. He's got it.
I did Date with Destiny. I did that one too. And the most powerful.
You went with your husband?
No, I went by myself. Yeah. My husband's so amazing. He's like, go do it if you want. I'm like, okay. And he supports that. We see things differently. And but the one thing the most powerful thing I walked away with was he had us all close our eyes and he said, all right, I want you to close your eyes and envision yourself as a child. And everyone's different. And you know, you might think of you can do it now. And you're like, okay, like I'm 5 or I'm 7. And then he asked, when you were a child, which parent did you want love from the most? And for me, it was my bonus mom, aka stepmom. And same thing with you, envision which parent that you want. And then the other question he asked, he's like, what did you have to do to earn their love? And for me, I had to be strong, smart, you know, type A, not care what others think and be the best. And then he said, okay, stop. I want you now to ask yourself, what do you do to feel worthy of love without your parents? And I was like, oh my God, if I'm not being my best, if I'm not the smartest, I'm not this, then I feel I'm not worthy of love. And he said, there's some things that are good about that, but there's some things that are bad. Keep the good, but get rid of those bad expectations to feel that you're worthy and loved. And that was a game changer for me. And like, I thought of my dad, and my dad makes everyone laugh because he made his mom laugh. And that's how he felt worthy of love. So, you know, there's things that we see that we do as adults, going back to childhood, that we feel, if I do this, that makes me worthy. If I have a successful business, I'm worthy. If I'm CEO of the company, I'm worthy. It's like, is that what you want or is that what you're doing to feel that you're worthy of love? So that was the most powerful thing I walked away with. Yeah, it really was.
No, that's super cool.
You know what I like about all that too is like, you seem to be very fueled too by like just inspiring other women.
Oh, thank you.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I've seen your page and I know what you're about. You call yourself the mamapreneur.
Mamapreneur,
And it really is cool because like you are in this like male dominant industry, but you're not like this man hater either. But you're like, man, I want to bring women up. And so that's part of your fuel. I just think that's cool. And a lot of that's probably from the work that you've done to like, hey,
very
well rounded women.
Yeah.
You have an awesome confidence about you.
Thank you.
And I just think that is just badass. Thanks. Like all the work you've done is,
I'll be real. There's some women I've seen and that I have been jealous of But I did the work and I'm like, why am I jealous of her? Yeah. Like, what does she have that I want?
Yeah. And then you identify that and you're like, how can I? Then you ask the right questions and then you can get the answer.
And do the work.
I'm gonna do that.
Yeah. And then be like, hey, and then instead of being jealous, I'm like, hey, I really admire how you killed it in this. And then it goes from jealousy to respect. And then it goes to something that I know I need to work on. Mm-hmm. So a lot of women you will see, I should take it back. A lot of people you will see, you see like this jealousy thing. It's like, you're not jealous of them. There's something in you that you need to do work on that you don't want to do. Like,
or they're doing something that you wish you would have done. And you're just like, you know, and they're reminding you of all the potential that you have that you're not honoring.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And it kind of irks you a little bit.
Yeah. So use jealousy as a tool to be like, what do I need to do work on?
Exactly. Ask yourself the right question when you have that emotion. Right. Yeah. So let me ask you this. If people want to connect with you, Instagram is the best place, your website, Facebook, like how do people connect with you?
So personal level basis is definitely Instagram, like Mamapreneur. But, you know, for me,
my Mama underscore Preneur.
Yes. Yeah. But where I'm very big at, I know you guys are big on, you know, Instagram. I'm LinkedIn. Like LinkedIn is my industry. So
I hate it.
It's good for me because that's where my pool swims. That's where my fish are at.
That's true.
Why am I going? I'm not going to go market. Our fish
swim there too. I just hate it.
I know.
Yeah. I just hate Trish's
bias on it.
I am. I freaking hate stuff.
Dude, I can't get into the LinkedIn vibe either, but I know we've been having some stuff posted over there because it is important.
Yeah.
You know, but that's where my fish swim. Yeah. And that's where I got to throw my bait to catch what I need to catch. So business-wise, I am very big all on LinkedIn. That. Oh, yeah. Like, I invest all of it in there.
Good.
Because that's what gets me the contracts. Yeah. But, you know, personal motivation wise.
Is it just state, though? Are you only working in the state of California? Yeah, so
state of California, because we have one of the strictest building codes. But that's why.
So you don't work with anybody outside of California if they need coaching, mentoring, or anything?
Oh, coaching and mentoring, yes. I mean, I have one in New York. I'm part of WPO. It's called Women President Organization. Women who do a million plus. Oh, my God. It's amazing. So you're in a room with other women. It's all throughout the country. We have a conference once a year. It's coming up in Tennessee. But that was a game changer for me, too, joining that women's group. So
we're always about growth. We can identify as a woman just for how many days is the event?
How can I get in that room?
Yeah.
Oh, it's all women. Exactly. Yeah.
We're going to ask ourselves the right question. How do we get in the room?
Yeah. Hit up WPO. I'll send it to you. Put some. What's the movie where they dress as women? Oh, my God. Why isn't it coming to me?
White
girls? White chicks.
Yes, we'll dress you guys up as that. Bring in the conference, some wigs, we'll figure it out. Heels. Yes.
I could use a manicure. Look at that.
Yes, like here's my besties. They own an accounting company. Yeah. So,
no, that's cool that you're a part of different stuff like that. I think have that's awesome. To,
because, you know, being a business owner and entrepreneur, it's very lonely.
Yeah.
It is.
You need to surround yourself with people that understand you.
I had someone like, you should sell your business and stay home with your kid. I was like, yeah, I'm not hanging out with you anymore. And found WPO. And women are like, here's how you do this, this, and this as a mom and a wife and owning a business. You have to be around those women. Yeah. So find your tribe. Find your tribe. Oh, yeah. Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Without a doubt.
Without a doubt.
So I cut you off on how people connect with you. So LinkedIn, if it's for business.
Yes.
And you can help some people outside of the state of California if it's literally project management, though, that's the state of California.
Project management is the state of California, yes, because our building code of schools. But outside, that's where I'm trying to figure out getting into those government contracts and helping everyone out.
Yeah.
But yeah, even if it's just, you know,
if you have questions or like, whatever.
I'm here to help everyone.
Yeah, you could tell.
Just don't waste my time, but I'm here to help.
Yeah, well, exactly, right? Respect your time. But obviously, over the course of the podcast, everyone should have felt that she has a serving intention about her, where she's willing to serve other people. She's willing to help other people. And I think that's part of why she's seen some of the success that she's seen, because it really starts with serving.
Yes.
And then when you serve enough, good things just happen.
They really do.
So
even if you are just a woman entrepreneur that's like, hey, I haven't found my tribe yet, and you need some advice from Tasha.
I will tell you how to find a tribe.
The organization. WPO. Stuff like that, because it is important to surround yourself with good people.
Absolutely.
And Natasha's definitely one of the good ones.
Yeah. So it's been fun.
Reach out to her, connect with her if you have questions. Shoot her a message and just say, hey, I'm with the RBO gang. Listen to the podcast and you killed it, right? Just show her some love even, right?
Well, I just want to say.
If it vibed with you.
I want to say you two are amazing. Keep doing what you're doing because you really are impacting people, and all your messages that you give for every season, so it's going to impact someone. And that's why you guys keep growing, because you keep touching people for the season that they're in. Mm. So I want to see this grow. I want to see your masterclass. I'm going to show up at one of them. I love your energy. Just keep doing it. Don't stop.
We
appreciate
that. We are being pushed that way, and we do want to do it. So it's coming. But we appreciate you coming up here. That's so cool.
Thank you for supporting women businesses. I appreciate it.
You're a badass.
Thank you.
You're a badass. You earned it. You know, that's a fact. And again, the fact that you're reaching out and trying to connect with us and things like that, that's getting uncomfortable, putting yourself out there, which is something that not a lot of people are willing to do. So they automatically get the same result that they've always got, right?
Sometimes I listen to you guys twice a day. If like your message really hits me, I listen to it and while I get ready and on the way to work.
Don't listen to it while you get ready. She told us she hit this spot in the podcast where it was really vibing.
And curling my hair, and then I smelled it burning. I was like, oh my God, because I was like thinking about what you guys were talking about.
We are not responsible for any damages done while you're listening to our podcast. Yes, I loved this podcast.
Yeah, me too.
I'm happy as hell about it. You absolutely killed it and murdered it. And she loves St. George, Utah, everybody. She's taking pics and
coming
all that
back.
Stuff. She's coming back. So the scenery is amazing. So come visit us. Again, and make sure when you and your husband come by or come up, stop by and say hi to us for sure. So, guys, we hope you enjoyed today's podcast. We know that we did. Mm-hmm. Make sure you're doing your public service duties to the RBO community, rating, reviewing, sharing this stuff with people that it can impact. So, we hope you guys have a wonderful day. Keep kicking ass. Take care.